So in the first reading, the Israelites, they're complaining. Do you know what they're complaining about? Where are they in the first reading? They're out in the desert. And what's going on in the desert? They're finally free, but they're in the desert and they're tired. They're hungry and they're thirsty. So the people begin to grumble against Moses, saying, "Well, why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock? Because at least, you know, while we were in Egypt, although we were slaves, like we had something to eat and we could actually, you know, we were not dying of thirst. But out here in the desert, although we are free, oh, it's hot and I got nothing to eat and I'm thirsty." Do you grumble sometimes? Yeah. Or have you ever been really hungry? Or really thirsty? What is your tendency when you become really hungry or really thirsty? Now, how do you respond to hunger? Or how do you respond to thirst? Those who have children, you know, like your kids or teenagers, they come home from school and they say, "I'm hungry." How do they act? Right? Have you seen that Snickers commercial? What's their line? They say, "You are not you when you're hungry." Right? And in fact, they ran a campaign asking, "So who are you when you're hungry? What kind of person do you become when you're hungry? Do you become a baby? Are you grouchy? Are you a curmudgeon? Do you turn into a caveman? Do you turn into a snail? Do you turn into a princess?" You know, and then they make you like circle. What do you become when you're really hungry? Right? "Well, I'm a baby." When I'm hungry, I'm like, you know, I kind of get annoying, you know, and become quick-tempered. But it's so true. You're not you when you're hungry. And the Super Bowl, they ran many, many ads. One of the ads was a Snickers ad for the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you remember, but there was a skinny old man, you know, complaining. The skinny old man had a white dress on, and there was like wind blowing, you know, from the side, wind blowing from the bottom. And the director of the movie says, "Okay, here, eat this Snickers bar, okay? Because you're not you when you're hungry." And the man, you know, takes a bite from the Snickers bar, and all of a sudden, transforms into, that's right, Marilyn Monroe, right? And the whole idea is Snickers really satisfies you, satisfies your hunger. But does Snickers really satisfy your hunger? I mean, I'm not like a health nut here, okay? But I looked at the ingredients and what it has, right? The regular Snickers bar. Guess how many grams of sugar it's got? 27. I know. Artificial flavor and all kinds of stuff, and just even words that I cannot even pronounce, you know? Hydrogenated soybean oil. I don't even know what that is, right? So when you eat a Snickers bar, maybe it'll satisfy your hunger for like 15 minutes because you get that sugar high. And then what? You crash, right? I mean, at best, a Snickers bar is a tweak to your hunger. And Jesus encounters a woman at the well and says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So obviously people they're drawn to this. And they're like, "Wow, that's really cool. What is that? I want some of this," right? And I think that's one of the main reasons why people are interested in the faith, talking about eternal life, salvation. And we get baptized and we listen to the word of God. We receive the body and blood of Christ. But then quickly realize that afterwards, we're still hungry. Afterwards, we're still thirsty, right? And I think that is because basically we have taken the Snickers approach to Christianity. Let me repeat. Many of us have taken the Snickers approach to Christianity here. In a very fast-paced, impatient society, we are in the business of quick fixes, right? And if you've been reading that book, the Rediscover Jesus, in this week you're gonna encounter one chapter from Matthew Kelly, Reflection 22, called More Than Tweaking, right? And the Bible is, for many of us, it's like a self-help book. And I wonder, I mean, I don't know you, many of you personally, or I know some of you personally, but, you know, when I hear you pray or when we pray together, oftentimes, what do you pray for? You know, we pray for tweaks, right? Oh, dear God, you know, help me tweak my grades because I have C's and I want to get an A. Oh, dear God, please tweak my job because I want to make more money, you know? Or, dear God, please tweak my husband. You know, he needs it, you know? Or please tweak my wife or tweak my kids. Tweak the in-laws, please, right? Or tweak the priest. I don't know, whatever, you know? But basically, we ask for little tweaks, minor changes here and there. Quick fixes. That's what we look for. All we need is this quick fix, patch-up job. Give me my Snickers bar and I'll be good. Snickers approach to Christianity. The Israelites, that's exactly what they're asking for. You know, back then they didn't have Snickers bar. That's basically what they were asking for. The Israelites, they're asking for Snickers bar. Tweak us. Hungry, give me some food. Thirsty, give me something to drink. Tweak, tweak, tweak. Is the Lord in our midst or not? Same thing from the Samaritan woman. She said, well, you got this good stuff? Tweak me. Right? But instead, when you're hungry, we know that a candy bar does not sustain you, right? Again, I'm not like a health, you know, health person here, but when you're hungry, don't you need something substantial, right? I was saying at the Spanish Mass, when you're hungry, you need like that carne asada, you know, like that. You need that protein, you know, and that when you eat that protein, it kind of like sustains you. You're good for at least 4 or 5 hours, right? And you got to eat, you know, on a regular basis to sustain your energy throughout the day. And that's why coming to church, praying once in a while, that's like the Snickers approach. You know, there's really no magic pill to discipleship, to being a follower of Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman asks, you know, well, let me get this water. Where's this water? Give me the Snickers. And Jesus says, no. It's much more than that. Come follow me. Become my disciple. Right? Carry your cross, follow me. Someone doesn't become a healthy person overnight. You know, you have to eat right, sleep well, and continue to exercise. And that's the same thing in our relationship with the Lord. Jesus was not in the business of tweaking, folks. He was in the business of transformation. And that's why Lent, how many days we got in Lent? 40. Actually more. It's more than 40 days, okay? But yeah, plus or minus 40 days, right? It takes time for transformation. But many of us, we don't want to put in the effort. Many of us, we say, okay, well, I got Ash Wednesday, put some ashes, that's nice, right? Make a little promise, do this or do that, that's nice. And then what week are we on now? Third week of Lent. Most of us by this time have tweaked ourselves away. Most of us by this time, oh, whatever, you know, right? And then we still expect God to change us, right? We don't put in our effort, and then we still expect God to do this, and do that for us. And then we get mad, and then you don't come to church anymore because God doesn't answer your prayers, right? You're asking for tweaks. God's asking us for transformation. And you know, in order for you to do anything, you can't just do something for one day, 2 days, 3 days. You got to do it for a period of time. That's why Jesus asked. That is precisely why we have the season of Lent. To develop a good habit, to make a sacrifice in the area of prayer, fasting, almsgiving for 40 days so that you can be transformed. I got a friend of mine, very, very, very nice guy. He has a wife, 2 kids, but every time I talk to him, he's so tired all the time. Have you ever met people who are always tired? I say, hi. Hi. I'm like, wow, I feel tired just looking at you, you know? You got those droopy eyes. He's like, how you doing? It's like, okay, all right. So what's going on, man? I mean, like, You don't work that hard, you know what I mean? what's going on? Let's figure this out, right? And I talked with him and talked about what do you do on a daily basis? What takes up your time because you're so busy all the time? Because everybody says they're so busy, right? And we discovered, well, do you know how many hours he spends on the computer every day? Outside of work, okay? He gets home at nighttime. You know how many hours he spends on the computer, cell phone, and TV? Like 4 to 5 hours. Every night. Every night. You only got 24 hours. Right? No wonder you're tired. You know, you start 10 p.m., you go to bed, 2, 3, I don't know what you do on the computer. I don't even want to know, okay? But 10 p.m., 2, 3 a.m. every night. Computer, cell phone, TV. No wonder you're tired. But you say you're such a busy man. And you're so tired. No wonder you got no time for the family and the kids. You know what I mean? And it's not just a one-day thing. Oh, yeah, I slept at 10 p.m. last night. Oh, I feel good. That's nothing. That's just a tweak. You got to do this for the long haul. You got to do this for 40 days. But just imagine if he actually kept his Lenten promise to sleep at 10 p.m. every night for 40 days. That's 40 days of, you know, developing his habit. And how can that not transform him? How can that not help him develop a closer relationship with the Lord and have more time with the family, more time with the kids, right? That's a difference. Tweaking, transformation. Many of us seek tweaking and we get mad, but Jesus asks for transformation. A tweaking Christian would say, well, you know, I go to church here and there, and, you know, sometimes make me feel good, sometimes make me feel bad, do the right thing, wrong thing, I get some good tips, that's nice. A transformative Christian would say, you know, I've missed church the last 2 weeks and something's not right. Something is off. I feel down and I feel like I'm kind of like, you know, turning away from the Lord. I need to get back in the habit of dedicating myself with the Lord. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference between a tweaker and a transformer? Right? And that's what I ask this week. You know, because we're at the third week of Lent. This is the time when most of us pretty much have given up on our goals. We're like, oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, Easter's almost there anyways, you know. No, you got to get back. Get back on the habit. Read that Rediscovering Jesus book, that purple book, Reflection 22:2. And it's called Beyond Tweaking. Right? And know that God is not in the business of tweaking, but in the business of transformation. And Jesus asks us, he questions the woman at the well. Come to the water. Come drink this water of eternal life. But what is our understanding? What is our response? Are we desiring a tweak in our lives, or are we truly desiring transformation?